Hey everybody, this is the Brew Shaman from Crafted For You. Tonight we decided to do a little different of an episode. We decided to do a cooking with beer episode. So, with Thanksgiving ending and the New Year, or Christmas coming up, and the New Year's,
we decided... Or, Hanukkah and the holidays.
Sorry.
Let's be, PC guys.
Get your Christian propaganda out of here.
So... We decided to get all our friends together and do a big potluck in which we use beer to create all of our meals. So, tonight we'll go around the table and we'll tell everybody what
we've already had everything to eat.
Yeah, we already ate and it was all delicious. So, we'll start with Trey.
Hey, yeah, I made brats out of New Belgium 1554 black lager, and I just marinated in that with Worcestershire sauce and did some sautéed onions, and yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm Jessica, and I made two different things. I baked brownies with Guinness, and then I also used Guinness to make short ribs.
So how did you do the short ribs with the
Guinness? So they braised for 2.5 hours. You just had garlic, onion, and all the short ribs in the pot. And then just got a crust on them and threw them in the oven for 2.5 hours with the Guinness in it and everything.
They were delicious.
My name is Alexander Fulmer. I didn't actually make anything for tonight. I had a scheduling conflict with food, but I later on, I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about recipes involving beer, and that's kind of why I'm here, because I've been doing, or had been doing restaurant work for years and years and years, and that tends to build up a pretty good number of recipes that involve beer and other alcohol too, which I'll probably throw in a couple of my favorite things about just booze in general with food.
And Alex is from our sister podcast, I would say.
Yeah.
Name Redacted.
Yeah. So, Kissing Cousins.
Yeah. What it is. So if you get a chance, check them out as well.
So incestuous. It's like I'm doing two podcasts at the same time.
I didn't know you were going to be here.
And then Jeff broke off to create his own podcast.
I know.
Podcast.
Just a rebel.
I did. And then, of course, Nielsen.
I'm Nielsen. I made a beer fajitas, and I used the Lemon Space Dog. I don't even know what style of beer this is. But Lemon Space Dog by Asheville Brewing, and I also used the Fire Escape Jalapeno Pale Ale in those as well,
which turned out great.
Yeah, it was good.
And then how did you incorporate the beer into yours?
So when I make fajitas, I like to flash the pan with some sugar. So I put a little bit of the beer in each pan. I had a pan for chicken and a pan for the vegetables. I cut up, and so I flashed it with the sugar in the beer, and then I. Marinated the chicken in the Lemon Space Dog, and I marinated the vegetables in the Fire Escape. Not real long, like 20 minutes. I didn't have a whole lot of time. But then I just dumped all of the chicken with the Lemon Space Dog into one pot and just reduced that down until it was just, like, caramely.
Yeah.
And because you get that nice, like, fajita goop, you know? And then I had, I took all the vegetables out of the beer and put just a little, maybe like a half cup of the beer in with that. And then cooked those up until they started to caramelize, and then took them off the burner, and then threw up all of the beer and all of the ingredients in one pot and just cooked it all down, and threw some fajita seasoning that I made into it, and that's how I did that.
What is the style of beer?
It's pale wheat ale.
Okay.
A pale wheat. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Cool. I'm Alyssa. First, I'm going to introduce Cecily's recipe because she had to leave. She did a corn chowder with Natty's Southern which ended up being delicious. It was creamy and warm and wonderful. Everything you want from a chowder.
Ooh, girl.
I did an IPA mac and cheese. I slow cooked it. Thank you.
Yeah.
I used 4 different types of cheeses. My favorite being the smoked Gouda. That we picked out. So
Boar's Head. Oh my god.
So good. I, grated that myself. A lot of love and effort went into my cheeses. But I also used 2 different IPAs. I used Ska Brewing Modus Hopperandi.
Yeah.
And Bell's Two Hearted. I put everything in my Dutch oven, which we call Martha. It's Martha Stewart. She has a name. We love her very much. And once I got all of the butter and the milk and the cheese, and before I put the pasta in, which I use shells, I just dumped both of the beers in. And
well, initially, you did the two-hearted.
Initially, I did the two-hearted, and I doubled my recipe because I'm Italian, and I didn't think it was going to be enough food. And my recipe called for 12 ounces, and we only got one bottle of two-hearted. So, I don't know. I figured four cheeses, two IPAs. Why not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It worked
choice.
Out good. It worked out
yeah.
good.
It was delicious.
They're pretty similar
yeah,
in taste,
it's
actually.
Very earthy.
Last night when we went to Lowe's to pick out, we actually looked at a bunch of different IPAs because we didn't want anything too, like, citrusy. Like, I didn't think really, like, grapefruit was a great mac and cheese flavor. So we went with something that was a lot more, like, earthy.
Like Centennial hops. You want,
yeah.
You don't want to get, like, the citrusy or, like you don't want to go with Citra because it's very citrusy or Cascade because it gets, you know, those really grapefruit kind of flavors. So
yeah. So the earthy really
hops.
Played really nice over, like, the mild cheddar and the smoked
the
Gouda.
The smoked Gouda and the earthiness went really well.
It was really good.
And then I did pretzels and beer cheese. So with my pretzels, I used Natty Green's Buckshot. And that was pretty much just heating it up, adding yeast, and then taking all that and adding it to everything else. And then the cheese was pretty much take a can of the Modest from Ska and putting all the cheese in, and that was about it. Super
yeah.
easy.
Your beer cheese consistency or even taste was very similar to the mac and cheese.
It was. Mm-hmm. We used the same cheeses. I just
yeah,
used
one
the
smoked
Gouda.
And one of the same
beers. And same
beer.
Yeah.
So it translated really well for both, I think.
Smoked Gouda.
Smoked Gouda was on point.
Smoked Gouda.
Smoked Gouda. I would be interested in, like, next time I think I want to try, like, the Chipotle Gouda.
That's
and
actually,
add, like, a little spice to it.
That's actually probably the most used cheese in my house. It's... You get it from any Harris Teeter. They have it in the little cheese
yeah,
circle
that's where
thing.
We
yeah.
got ours at Lowe's.
It's
well,
probably Boar's Head as well.
The day that I actually brought you guys those two chilies, that's what we brought with it, was with that smoked Chipotle
mm-hmm.
Gouda.
That was
cheese.
The first time I had that,
yeah.
Yeah,
I am a diehard recommender of that particular cheese. It works with everything, and especially when you're talking about cooking with beer, it's something that you can pair with different types of beer for different recipes that are going to blend really well in terms of how they're going to react in the cook itself. I recommend it. Gouda itself is a good cheese to go with any real beer recipe, just because the overall flavor of a Gouda anyway is going to lend itself to different flavors in different ways. It's going to change. Which is what you really want when you're looking at a recipe, is you're looking for an ingredient that's going to change depending on what's
mm-hmm.
in with it.
I agree.
Yeah, which is definitely one of the big reasons why we chose it. And, it's good.
And it's just a great cheese. We've done it on grilled cheese before. Right after you brought that chili, we're like,
yeah.
We're going to go to Lowe's and we're going to get this
we're
and do grilled cheese.
This.
It was amazing.
It's great. Like I said, 100% thumbs up, recommend
so
every
did
time.
You guys, did you guys make your... foods off of a recipe, or were you guys just kind of building stuff as you went?
I definitely built it as
yeah.
I went. Just marinated it. It's pretty much...
I did recipes for both that I... one was my mom's, and then one was from Pinterest, the brownies I found on Pinterest.
I looked at a couple different recipes just to see what the most common and the best way to incorporate, like when to add it to the entire mixture and
right.
when it would really absorb the most flavor. But other than that, I kind of went off of what I usually do for mac and cheese. And I know that Cecily kind of Frankensteined a bunch of different recipes together
well,
as well.
Also, both of us went off the deep end with, I think, I don't know if yours called for an IPA, but my cheese didn't call for an IPA.
It specifically said not to use an IPA.
Yeah, so both
actually.
Of us really
oh,
wanted...
Funny. I like that.
To incorporate
though.
The IPA, I thought
yeah.
it would be really good.
Well, when I thought it, like, we both thought about it, like, we wanted something that we were going to get the most flavors from.
So did you choose the food first or your beer first?
We chose the food.
Okay.
You did the opposite,
I chose the beer first, yeah, because I went to Best Way, and my buddy Josh works there, and I just happened to run into him, and I was like, man, I gotta make some food with beer. And he's like, well, what do you think? And I was like, I don't know, man, like, it'd be kind of cool, like, to do something weird with a sour, you know? And he was like, well, we got this, like, he was like, what do you think? I was like, I don't know, maybe something like Mexican food. Like, I really like making Mexican food. I didn't want to do comfort food, because most beer food is comfort food. And yeah. I just felt like I wanted a challenge. I wanted something different. I wanted something that was more about the flavor. And so the first thing he showed me when I said Mexican food was the jalapeno beer. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, and then I thought, like, okay, well, if I can substitute out the jalapenos I would be using, the lemon beer was literally right next to it. And I was like, I can substitute out the lemon or the lime and try that too. So I added almost no heat, with the exception of the bell peppers and a little bit of ground red pepper to it.
So most of the heat came from
this.
And you really got
there
it.
There was a good amount of heat.
Yeah, it was good.
But it was flavorful heat.
Right, and that's what I liked about it. So, like, the kick in the mouth you got right at the beginning was kind of from the seasoning, but the stuff that stayed with you, that was all the beer. That
it
was
came
all the beer.
Across in a really smart way. And when we decided to do this, obviously my first instinct was to go to Pinterest and do some research. And even just, we kind of had an idea of what we wanted to do, but we wanted to get a lot of people involved. And I kind of expected some people, you know, to ask for suggestions, not really to be sure. So I pinned a bunch of recipes as a go-to.
Right.
And I saw a lot of things over and over and over again. I never once saw anything Mexican, anything fajita.
And that was the thing. I actually, like, I searched for a second to see if I could find a recipe for anything weird. And then I almost made it a mission to, like, not do anything I found. Like, I went on all recipes and just searched for beer as an ingredient and went through a couple pages. And I was like, this is a lot of chili. This is a lot of stews. This is a lot of brats. This is a lot. And so I was like, I just want to do something that. And that was the thing. It's like, I really wanted to focus, because I love adjuncts. And I really wanted to focus on bringing the adjuncts out. And that's why I chose to do chicken, too. That was my first thought. It's like, if I marinate chicken in a beer that's got a strong adjunct, it's going to take on the flavor of
more
that adjunct more than the beer. Yeah, so at that point, you can just substitute out the ingredients that I already was going to use anyway. And so then I was basically shopping for beer like it was produce. And I was like, what produce do I need for a recipe? So
that's a really, like, great approach. And I'm really happy with the variety of food we got, because we got really out-of-the-box things like that and Cecily's corn chowder, which I never expected to work.
Yeah, that worked really well.
But then we also had, like, our classics and our go-tos, like the brats and the ribs, which are
amazing.
Like,
delicious.
Yeah, and the mac and cheese.
That was the first time I've ever had beer mac and cheese. I've definitely had beer cheese, but I've never
had it. And that's why I wanted to do it, because I've never seen it or had it done with pasta before.
Yeah.
I'm obviously Italian. I want to put pasta in everything. So it was a really nice blend of our favorites and those comfort foods, and trying some really cool new recipes and experimenting.
Out of curiosity, Chris, how did you get the red color in the fajitas?
That was the cumin and the I keep forgetting the name for the ground red pepper.
Cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the cayenne pepper and a little bit of paprika too.
Okay. Yeah. It's when I saw it, I was actually really curious, because when you said you used the lemon beer and I saw the flavor, or I saw the color, I was like, if that's what I think it is in there, this is going to be weird.
The lemon's not very strong, and I'm kind of glad that it didn't come through.
But I don't know if you guys got it, like, because you guys probably had it all when it was still hot. As it's cooled down, I think it's actually changed significantly.
So what does it taste like now?
There's a bitter mid-ground, super hard in it, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because you're not expecting it, but it's like, it's right in the back of, like, the end of your molars. Like, it's kind of that, it's a little watery, but
it, so, like, right before it settles?
Right before it settles, there's this really weird bitter mid-ground, which, like...
Is it, like, a beer flavor coming through?
There's definitely a beer flavor coming through. It's definitely more of a hoppy beer flavor than anything.
It's like when you have, like, an IPA, you get that, like, right here in your cheekbone, right back here.
Which is really interesting, and, like... You guys mentioned earlier, I think we mentioned it also before we started recording, the whole, like, it gets more spicy when you're not drinking it, actually, when you cook it with the food, which actually makes a lot of sense for a lot of people that don't know much about cooking with beer or things like, or know much about cooking, period. Drinking something that has spice to it versus cooking it in a meal, what you're doing is you're taking the things that are part of the flavor of the beer and you're essentially cooking half of them out.
Right.
And for anybody that doesn't know this, when you cook anything with beer or alcohol in general,
the alcohol
that's the first thing evaporates first. Yeah.
Really sad. I wish I had like a still set up so I could have some weird liquor based on the
and it makes sense to do that, or that it does that. This is actually really good on the second taste too. but now I'm full of food.
Which is why we ate before.
Yeah, sorry. I had to taste them all too. So the reason that you get that spiciness in the food more than you get in the beer is the beer has like all the flavors that are part of the beer. When you cook half of those flavors out, you're actually also activating the spice when you put it into a skillet.
Anytime you heat up a spice,
it's going to come out even more.
As we found out the last time that I made the spinach artichoke dip, when as the night went on, it kept getting hotter because it stayed in the crock pot.
That's very true. which is amazing.
The more you have something like essentially soak in a flavor, the more of that flavor is going to absorb into the other things around it, and the more it's going to come out in the recipe. So it tends to go from at the beginning of making it, when you first taste it before it's fully finished, it's a background note. As the cook progresses, it becomes a foreground note, which is something to really consider when using beer and when to put the beer in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if you don't want the beer to be the mainstay of the food, don't fucking put it in the beginning. Just don't do it.
So
I was going to say, it's almost like brewing. Like with hops, if you're looking for the most like flavor and like aroma, you put it in the end.
Yeah.
If you're looking for just bitterness or whatever, right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Very same concept.
So when did you guys add the beer to your recipes? Like, how did you guys go about doing that?
Well, marinate it, and then I cooked in a skillet. I just poured the marinade in with them, and then once I got done with that, I just got some grill marks on cast iron.
So you had beer for the whole process?
Yes.
Okay.
I had mine for most of it. So with the short ribs, I just browned them on both sides, and then when I put it in the oven, that's when I had it in beer. So for it just soaked in the beer for 2.5 hours as it baked, which is good.
They were tender.
They fell apart.
It was just mush. Yeah. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh, pulling it apart was amazing. And I just used 2 forks, and it was like butter. Yeah. It was
and
great.
It brought out like a richness to the meat, which was real nice.
Yeah, the Guinness went really well.
Guinness was like a perfect beer.
It gave it kind of like a brown sugary kind of.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably the
chocolate in the beer probably caramelized a little bit. You know, get that Maillard reaction going.
It's funny because like I used to work for an Irish pub, and I worked in the kitchen there, and first thing I thought of when we sat down today and I looked at all the beers and stuff was the first thing on their appetizers menu is pint of Guinness. it's like because this, they're like, because a pint of Guinness goes with every meal kind of thing. It was really, and we actually cooked with Guinness a lot. Like our shepherd's pie had a little bit of Guinness in it, and we had beef stew that had Guinness in it. Like, so one really big thing in terms of cooking with beer is always consider the beer you're choosing really, really well, because sometimes you're just not gonna get it. Like if you had used like a wit beer with something like that with the short ribs, it would have been so strange and it would have not translated correctly.
I did have the thought about trying to, since I was trying to figure out what beer I wanted first, I almost thought about trying to just get like Steel Reserve or like whatever the worst beer that I could wrap my head around was, to see if I could like
make it work
and like bring some extra flavor to something out of something that would just like cheap beer.
Yeah,
we'll get some Milwaukee's Beast.
Well, because like I mean, like when you make like a beer can chicken,
you usually use shitty beer,
like Budweiser.
Yeah,
you know, it tastes great.
To see what else and what other recipes that would translate. Yeah,
it's mostly just for like adding moisture to the chicken. It's usually what it is. Yeah. But I'm sure if you use like a craft beer, you could probably impart a little more flavor into it.
Yeah.
Which we've never tried that.
Yeah. And it like Alex was saying, it really just depends on what you're cooking and knowing how to pair your food with the type of beer, like any, like a wine.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're making a red sauce, I always use like a Merlot because I like the way that it complements the red sauce and the richness it brings out. It's the same way. And I approached that idea when I was picking, the beers that I wanted to do. I didn't want to use a pale ale or anything like lighter than that. I wanted something with all of that
really
flavor,
bold flavor,
something bold, a little bitter, because that's what I thought would pair best with the cheeses that I wanted to use.
I was actually really surprised you guys didn't go dark beer with that Gouda, because that could have been so incredibly like so
complex.
Complex and also like the complementary part of it would have been so interesting.
I felt like it would have been weird because of the sweetness that you probably would have got out of the stout or porter.
See, that's the thing.
And the chocolate.
And you could have even pulled some sweetness out of the Gouda, too, because it's got a bit of that.
That's the thing, is that when you do that, the whole thing that I always look for when I'm cooking with things like this is how to take two flavors and use them together, like that whole spicy sweet idea.
Yeah.
Right. And things like that, like sweet and sour and all the different, you know, combinations of things, which is why I really think that, like, I'm interested now in trying to see where your initial recipe could go with another beer.
I think, and I like that idea of pairing cheeses with, like, something darker. I like the idea, like we said before, we chose the IPAs because we really didn't see a lot of recipes that called for IPAs. So we thought, one, you know, that's reaching out of the box a little bit, like moving up from, like, you know, a pale ale to the IPA. And I think it would work in something different. Like, mac and cheese is a comfort food. You expect it to be a certain way. And I still wanted to hold that comfort character to it. If I was doing something like with like smoked cheeses and caramel onions and something that would pull out the sweetness a little bit more, maybe in like, I don't know, like a panini or like baked brie, something like that, I think maybe a stout would translate a little bit better because you can pull out those sweet flavors.
See, I'm kind of on the opposite side of that because to me, like, cheese is creamy. Like, mac and cheese is creamy. And stouts are creamy. Porters are creamy. You know, and that, and it goes together. And the weird thing for me is the idea that, because the IPA to me says nothing about comfort, which is weird. Because that worked out pretty well. Like, it, like, to me, like, the idea of comfort food does not sit in IPA.
Really?
And
it,
not
it,
even a
that's
little
how it
bit.
Feels with me.
See, I think like, that the bitterness from the beer almost gave the cheese a little bit of a sharper
it's
taste.
Yeah,
it was,
it's like if you have sharp cheddar cheese. It's kind of bitter.
It's got that bitter.
See, when I think of comfort food, I don't think of that though. Like, I don't think of bitter. Like, and I'd be hard pressed to think that I'd find a whole lot of people that would think bitter when you say comfort food. I don't know a whole lot of people that are going around in the South like, oh yeah, man, let me get bitter fucking food, and that's my comfort. No, you're talking about like shit like biscuits and cornbread and fucking like. And, like, really heavy shit, like, shit that gives you the sugar. Like,
but from the IPA, you're not getting the bitterness. You're getting more of, like, what the hop character is. You're getting that really earthy or citrusy kind of flavor. You're not getting that initial, like, you take an IPA, you get that in the jowls bitterness. You're getting more of, like, the initial, like,
did you not
taste it
on the back end of the... Because I got it on the back end of both things.
The
bitterness.
Of the bitterness?
I think maybe
it's
a cool down.
Maybe it's a
cool
down.
Not
the cool down, but like it's...
But like Jeff said before, I don't... Like, yes, mac and cheese is creamy, but mac and cheese also doesn't say chocolatey.
I don't...
To me, like a stout.
See, but
but
not
I
all
also,
stouts have to be chocolatey
also,
either, though. Like, because there are stouts that definitely don't have chocolate notes in.
And I think a lot of it depends on what type of food you're trying to build to begin with.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to build something that... You know, and that's what's awesome about it is that, you know, the IPA plays more to the flavor profile of the cheese, in my opinion, and the stout plays more of a complementary role. So if you're trying to flesh out the flavor and build up some complexity, the stout could be a really cool thing. That's when you start getting into, like, weird gourmet, like, food crafting type artistry of it.
Like,
you know, as opposed to, like, the IPA, it's just kind of like, this is what I expect, and how can I just put a little accent on top of, like,
yeah,
what it's already is.
Yeah, that
is.
Makes,
you know?
It definitely makes sense. I think for me, what it really kind of boiled down to with that was the mention of the Gouda just screams dark beer to me. Like, as soon as you said that, I was just like...
And that's a different in style, because never once in my life has anything screamed stout to me. I'm not a stout drinker,
I will tell you this. The best thing to cook with in like most situations, stouts are going to bring out flavor more.
No,
even if you're not a stout drinker.
Definitely.
Yeah. Like if you're doing meats and stuff, I completely agree with that. Or like
stouts
Amber's.
And some, for some reason, fucking lagers.
Lagers
are so
lagers.
Good to cook with.
Yeah.
And that's something like I wanted to step away from. I wanted to explore.
Right.
Cooking with a style that people don't initially think to cook with.
Did you guys all feel that way too? Because I know I made an intentional step away from lagers as well.
Yeah. I really liked the IPA because I didn't even really think about cooking with it. But, I mean, the mac and cheese, it really had a nice earthy kind of feel to it.
Even the cheese didn't call for an IPA. It called for a wit.
It called for a
wheat
it
beer.
It said it called for specifically a not IPA, right?
Not
no,
IPA.
It said wheat beer.
Okay.
But then
no, I liked
it
the
said...
IPA.
Don't pick an IPA.
Yeah.
It says,
it says don't use one.
Don't use one.
And I'm like, no, fuck this. I want it to be. I want these characters
and
that I like from this beer.
Well, and another thing, and was funny because Cecily picked Southern because we had left it at her house for Friendsgiving and she had it.
Oh, so she just used it out of utility.
She used it out of utility. And that was another thing that we were thinking too, because most of the time when we make something, it's, what do we have in the house? What are we going to do? And Jeff and I, 90% of the time, we're going to have IPAs. So we should
also,
know
we're
going to
have Natty Green's
and
beer.
And we're going to have Natty Green's that is also true. But we, you know, we wanted to cook with a beer we have on hand. Something
that's a
that
good
we're
point,
familiar
because
with.
I don't know if I would be able to easily replicate this recipe.
Yeah.
Because those are two beers that aren't necessarily easy to come by. And I was lucky. This one was like $3, one was like $4, so it wasn't...
That's not bad for a bomber.
No, not at all. That was definitely part of the decision.
It's it's kind of an interesting thing to look at in terms of, like, choosing your beer and whatnot, and, like, what's on hand and what's not on hand and what you have to go get. Because sometimes I've looked in my fridge when I've been wanting to make something and like that's beer oriented, and I look at the beer that I have and I'm just like, oh, that's a mistake. Like that's
probably a bad idea.
Like right now in my fridge I have that I have the Ben and Jerry's
From New Belgium.
From New Belgium, mm-hmm. the caramel brownie. And I looked down at it and I was like, because I was really considering throwing something together really quickly before we came here, and I looked down at that and I was like, fuck that. No, like,
you should have just brought that and then brought some ice cream.
Now, you know what that could have been good for?
Floats.
Beer floats.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say. I was actually wondering, and nobody did, I was wondering if anybody was going to make a dish that maintained the alcohol in the beer.
We almost texted the two of you to bring Not Your Father's and ice cream.
Oh,
I thought about it.
Yeah.
It's delicious and it works every time.
It's so good.
I thought about doing like a frosting for the brownies because that would contain the alcohol because it wouldn't kick off.
Yeah.
But I just thought it would be too much with like the Guinness brownies are really dark.
Guinness frosting would be so.
It would
that's
be really
what I was
good.
Thinking.
Yeah.
I might do that
you
next
know, it
time.
Would be to have done like a blondie
with like
a Guinness frosting.
You know, I bet the Guinness will
really
have a
good.
Nice texture to it too, because it's got such a nice thick head
thickness.
That if you whip it
I made cupcakes with the Guinness and the cake, and then Bailey's in the frosting.
Yeah,
and the Bailey's frosting was really good.
I put it to you guys to kind of do something a little bit, well, actually, very much pertaining to this. Take those recipes that you already have that you did, and like do them two different ways with two different beers, and see the contrast and whatnot.
Oh, definitely.
And with the icing thing. You
I
can make so many different kinds of icing because you can use a fruity ice or a fruity beer for icing.
Yeah.
You could use a vanilla porter for icing.
Yeah.
You can use so many different things.
My first thought was because yesterday when we stopped at the beer den, they were doing a tap takeover for Duclaw and Sweet Baby Jesus would.
That was
peanut butter.
The first thing I thought of when I found out we were doing
really
this.
Good, especially to this. To have Guinness brownies with like a peanut butter.
That would be amazing. I didn't know they had a peanut butter.
Dude. Peanut butter chocolate stout.
Yeah.
Pad Thai with that.
That was what I was thinking. So I almost good. Did that. I almost
that would be delicious.
Pad Thai with the peanut butter.
And because I love like that, like, and my thought was I thought about doing something with like the peanut butter and like a garlic. Because I love that peanut garlic.
Yum.
So I was real close to doing that.
Because that garlic would really bring out the peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds delicious. Well,
you
keep that
should
in
do
mind.
That next time.
We'll do this again.
This episode is going to be a series, and eventually it'll become like a seasonal cooking series,
yeah.
Like spring recipes, summer barbecuing, and so on and so forth.
So what would you guys change?
I'm coming for arms next time, man.
Right?
What would you guys change about your recipes? You guys have anything offhand?
I use, to be honest with you, I've made these brats before, but with Yingling.
Okay.
And I don't know, I guess the skunky kind of taste of the Yingling really helped the brats a little bit more than I thought this batch did.
Like the Yingling just came through a little bit more?
Yingling is one of my favorite things to marinate bratwurst in.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is about Yingling, but Trey's totally right. Yingling is so good.
It's what you want a beer brat. Like a Yingling
adds a little.
A Yingling and a hot dog kind of has a certain kind of flavor already.
Dude,
so just putting
do the black and tan. If you get the black and tan from Yingling
I can
into
see
that,
delicious.
It's really good. Like,
I'll have to try that.
I've sat there and just looked at Yingling in the aisles for a while and just been like, how many food things can I put you in?
Everything.
I kept looking back and forth because it's literally across from where
I will suggest that anybody interested in trying out beer recipes, your first stop is Yingling. I know that like a lot of people are like, oh, I'd like to try new and different. If it's your first time doing it, just go get a goddamn case of Yingling and do 12 recipes.
And I'll tell you,
it'll work.
There's
it'll
nothing
so
wrong
easy.
With that. You should know what you're doing. You need to walk before you run
type
of thing. And that's a great place to start. Which is, like I said before, why I'm glad we had so many varieties, of different complexities today for us all to try. I'm sure they all took a different amount of time and things like that. If I could change something in my recipe, I think instead of a slow cook, I would want to do a baked mac and cheese. I think doing a I've never done a slow cook pasta, and I don't.
So did
I
you
think,
slow cook the actual pasta?
Yeah, which is what one
that's
of the
what they said to do.
Called for, which
anytime
I thought was
I've
weird.
Slow cooked it, it's just you boil the pasta, you throw the slow cooker with the cheese.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know, let me. I'm doing new things today. Let me try something.
Yeah, let's go all in.
I didn't like that aspect. Also, because I really like al dente pasta, so
it
got
a little too
mushy, too soft for my taste. I would have liked to kept it a little bit more al dente and then baked it and done like a crunchy top to it.
A way to counteract that so you can get the same effect they're looking for in that slow cook for the whole thing is do what he said, boil the pasta and then slow cook the cheese. But then when you throw it on top, put a little bit of breadcrumbs on top of it. Turn your broil on high and throw it in with the broil on high.
A little bit of
like don't so don't bake it all the way through. But if you broil that shit
on
high,
tell me things I already know.
See, but they might not know.
They
listeners
might not know
and fans at
other
home.
People.
But I'm here for you guys.
Father like daughter. I've had to consciously not call you Pop. Which is why I mumbled your
I
name.
Saw Pop and I was like,
for those who don't know, there's just a very long running joke that Alex has adopted me and I'm his daughter that he had a very
my beautiful daughter.
The first time that we went to Alex's house, his parents were actually there. And he introduced them as Grandma and Grandpa.
which your mom thought was really weird, but your dad played along. And he called me granddaughter. And it was a beautiful moment in my life.
Steve Fulmer is a beautiful human being for doing that. Like that was.
I'm really glad I come from such like an easygoing family.
Good.
So yeah,
I'm glad you picked up that part of me, sweetheart.
And your cooking skills, Dad.
Jess, would you modify your recipe at all?
I would. I don't know. I want to enhance the Guinness in like the short ribs because I feel like it was kind
of. I think you should use more of a crafty beer,
like
you should use like Founder's Breakfast Stout or something.
Yeah,
Or maybe like Brooklyn.
I think Guinness was just like
black.
The safe.
Brooklyn Black.
I think Guinness was just like a safe beer to do.
There's but
a
Dragon's Milk.
The bourbon.
I've been thinking about that recently.
Oh, Weyerbacher would be super good to cook with, but I don't even like Weyerbacher like that. But some of their really boozy, like their barley wine.
Such a funny way to say it. I don't like that you like that Weyerbacher. Like, we can be friends, but I'm not going to take you home at night.
Chris and I both don't like Weyerbacher, even though they're in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We're not huge fans.
It's weird because, like, I you guys were talking about the Dragon's Milk. That's my favorite drinking beer, period. It's my favorite one. And I won't put it in food.
No, I almost didn't want to say it because I was like, is that blasphemy?
Yeah.
But if it was in the brownies...
But
yeah.
Brownies?
Okay. Well, I also think that like anything at all that has strong notes of caramel, vanilla, or chocolate is safe. But I had this thing called the Mastiff Stout the other day, and I don't remember who made it. But the whole time I was drinking it, I was like, "You deserve to be in food." Like the whole time, I just kept like looking down at the bottle. I'm like, "What food could I throw you?" But. It is always interesting to think about what other choices you can make in terms of your beer and how it'll affect the rest.
What I would do differently, I think, is I was a little upset about how little the lemon came through. I took it home. Josh said he had never drank it before when he recommended it. He said other people thought it was very lemony, so he thought it would be good. And then I opened it up, I took a sip, and it just was not lemony. So I think I'd want to either do like more of like a shandy or like just a straight up sour.
Dude.
Try to get that kind of like Tex-Mex feel.
Yeah.
And if I did that, I would want to do like a habanero beer instead. I didn't do that. I got the jalapeno because I know that I'm a little bit of a hothead and I know sometimes I outspice other people. So I got the jalapeno.
Challenge accepted.
Instead.
But it was a good. I don't like a lot of spice and I really enjoyed the amount that came through on it.
If you really want something, I know that. Like in terms of spiciness, the habanero Sculpin, from Ballast Point, would have been really good because that's really spicy.
I would love to do that with just like a super puckery sour,
that
just to make some.
See, that's something interesting.
Because
we
I love that
about.
Tex-Mex, like that spicy sour, spicy sweet, I put some sugar in it too to get that caramel.
I
can
see it working because we were talking and being like. Maybe sour is just one style you don't cook with.
When Foreman,
now that we're talking, and you had mentioned. Because
I just want to sub it for lime juice.
Yeah, you had mentioned like sweet and sour chicken before, and I think that would be a cool thing to explore too.
I had a recipe in mind that like I actually thought of a couple weeks ago when you guys first started talking about doing this episode, and I forgot it until like today. I want to do a sour, like a sour based key lime pie.
That would be good.
Ooh, and maintain the alcohol.
Yeah, which is why I wanted to do it.
But when it comes down to like how you said Dragon's Milk is like. You're like, I don't want to put
I just
that
don't
in
know.
Beer.
Yeah,
like, I'm the same way when it comes to a good sour. I'm like,
but that's
I would
why you just buy
this.
The bottom fucking quality sour.
Yeah.
See,
and it's
but
still,
is there such a thing?
I know that there's like sours that are like not as stellar, but every sour I've ever had, I'm just like, okay, you did this
good enough.
For,
good enough to put in the cheesecake.
Yeah, like a cheesecake is
a
cheesecake sour.
See, well, that's the thing because it wouldn't actually be a key lime pie. Because it wouldn't be live.
Yeah.
It would be a sour cheesecake.
Yeah.
I really like those ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all...
Baby Jesus cheesecake.
Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you're making for the next one.
I think the next one should just be a dessert episode.
I was going to say, we can do...
I was also thinking, like, what if we did, like, I don't know, maybe not a challenge, but seeing... If we all picked one thing to make and we all had to use a
different
style of beer in it to see and compare
what
I'm all about the challenge accepted.
Like I said, I put myself up to a challenge. Like I love the idea that we make it a game.
Yeah.
And just have
I will say I am super disappointed that like I have been too busy to have had the time because like I'm writing my fucking final paper and it's just killing me. Like I keep staring at my iPad because I'm like, shit, I got like 5 more pages in the next 2 hours. But like,
I remember those days.
Yeah, and, but it's
it's always...
I'm glad you went to school after you raised me.
I had to put you in there first, and then I had to better myself after I made sure you were okay.
What he meant is he had to save up money again.
Yeah. Took all my cash! But no, like, it's always kind of, like, or it was a real bummer to me, because I was like, because I don't know a whole lot about, like, I didn't know who all was bringing food and what they were bringing and whatnot. And, like, no offense to anybody else around, but I know how Chris is with cooking. And I was just like, the battle has begun.
That's
and,
what I did, too. Yeah, I was so bummed.
Like, he said that. Yeah, when he came, he's like, what is Fulmer making?
Yeah, I just, I got really bummed because, like, when I realized, I was like, oh, shit, Chris is a part of this podcast. Yes. And then, like, when we were halfway here, I was like, oh no!
I fucked up, guys.
Like I should have just gone to sleep a little earlier last night and just been like, "Fuck it, let's make food." But like, it's always interesting to see what people do in the situations like this when you're given like a like Iron Chef style. You know, you're like, "Ah, use a certain ingredient for a thing," and it's always interesting to see what everyone pulls out their ass.
Yeah.
Like, because it's always just
the
something...
weird connections that people make, well, and the weird things they look at.
And Chris is right. I've never seen a Mexican recipe that calls for beer, only booze. Like, only ever booze. Like this, like, oh, fajitas, throw tequila in it.
Right.
Or, like, I've seen vodka shrimp tacos, and I've seen, you know, things like that. But, like, I've never seen beer in Mexican food, and, like, there are a lot of other things, like I'm sure I've never seen Indian food that has, like, you know, a Lagunitas, whatever.
IPAs. Yeah. IPAs always go good with spicy food.
So, I mean, like, it's always interesting to see, like, what people come up with in situations like this, because the average American household isn't going to cook with beer. And if they do, it's going to be essentially kind of what Trey did, which is, before I throw all this stuff on the barbecue tomorrow, I'm going to let it sit in, like, this B-tier beer.
Oh, my dump a Budweiser and my chili.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Like, so it's stuff like that. So it's always fun to kind of see what people come up with, because a lot of people don't think about things like just how interesting it is to expose the flavors behind the flavors.
Well, I think that also comes with, like, how craft beer is coming now. Because, like, 20 years ago, all you had was, you know, Coors and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Now you have all these super complex beers where we're throwing fucking jalapenos.
Right.
And stuff
and
like
10
that.
10 years ago, your best bet would have been a Sam Adams or something. Like,
maybe,
you know, or a Guinness.
Boston Lager.
Yeah, that's all you had. You didn't have all these super complex beers like you do now.
So now we have, you know, the option to take what Jess did, which is like a classic.
Yeah.
And it's something that you said your mom has done.
Yeah.
And build upon it and change it and modify it and see, you know, how we can make it better and what else we can do. And we can just make it different every time and experiment, which is pretty cool.
It's always about perfecting that recipe and, like, making it a little different each time. And, and like, oh, I used too much beer this time. I should use a little bit less. Or, oh, this time there's a little bit too much of this flavor in it. So I'm going to pour a little bit of a different beer in there, too, to, like, cancel that out. Mm-hmm. And it's always, like... it's a give and take and a balance, and every time it should taste different anyway.
Yeah.
But I just think it would be really fun to do what you guys said and just be like, everybody make this dish, and make it a little different.
Yeah. I like that idea.
I think it's a really cool, or everybody make something with this style of beer.
Everyone's like, here, this is Modus Operandi. Make a food around it.
Yeah. I think, and that would be really interesting to do, and I'd really...
That just got my brain thinking already, just thinking about the...
Yeah. What we could do.
What you can do, like, I don't know, like, when I see that, like, I don't know, I like the chicken. I like cooking with chicken with beer, because chicken is very neutral.
And it absorbs everything.
And I think that would be a really great base if we were to do that. Everyone pick a different style, make a chicken dish.
And I'm bummed out that there are so many people that don't like mushrooms, because beer-battered fried mushrooms are just so
I came dangerously close to making just a beer-battered fried food tray.
Oh, yeah. mushrooms in particular are one of those foods that everything around it is going to get absorbed into it. And just, like, beer mushroom. Just... like, there's some, because of that weird fungusy taste, and then the bitter on top of it, like, everything just
kind of soaks in. It's amazing.
The recipe that I made with the short ribs is supposed to have mushrooms in it. Yeah. And I kept it out just because of who I was with. Yeah.
Like, I kept mushrooms out.
And it sucks, man. Like,
I'm allergic to them.
Yeah. Okay. So many people are either allergic to or do not like mushrooms. And it's just such a bummer. Because for this particular thing, it's one of the best foods to put with it. Because it just takes the flavor. It's
well, you made me something at your house one day.
The cheddar soup.
And you put mushrooms in it, and you were like, just try it.
Yeah.
And it was good.
I did. That was, okay, so before I found out I was allergic to mushrooms.
I can make Chris eat things he doesn't like, and he likes them.
The only time I've ever enjoyed mushrooms was in that soup.
It was good.
This dude.
And those are like quartered mushrooms, too. That was
good. Dude, it wasn't like little sliver mushrooms. It was like thick Baby Bella quarters.
I love mushrooms.
Me too. Like, but it's... It's one of those things where now I'm looking at all the old recipes I have, and I'm like, all right, what beer am I going to throw in this now? Like, because that cheddar soup, oh, man, I can think of 10 different beers.
Well, that was the other thing, too, is I was thinking about, like, I had a thought to do, like, maybe Italian food, because you'd usually do Italian food with, like, wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about getting, like, some sort of, like, fruitier beer to try to see if I could get some of that out of it, into it, or...
We were talking about this. I was thinking maybe, like, a barley wine. In like a chicken marsala or something.
Yeah.
Mead works.
Mead would work. Mead would work. It's a little sweet.
Dude, John, my roommate John brought home that chipotle cherry mead.
Oh, who makes that?
I don't know, but it's a limited edition thing.
It's good.
Oh, it is.
It tastes like wine.
It's one of my favorite alcohol things I've ever had.
Was it a small bottle?
It was like a bottle, and he brought us each out a little glass. But that stuff's, oh my God. Like, it's to die for. So good.
You know what nobody did? Oh, you did a little bit because you had peppers in your... But nobody did a vegetable or a side. And I saw a recipe for, and I almost did them.
I like how you called mac and cheese an entree.
Yeah,
I'm so happy
right now.
We're in the South. What's a vegetable here,
Alyssa? Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't even been here a full year yet. I don't know. Brussels sprouts.
Yep.
Caramelized Brussels sprouts.
Like how you cook down the beer into like a...
Yeah, anything sugar.
Brussels sprouts like that.
And I just went back to, real quick, to check the recipe that I saw. I originally would think maybe like an amber or a brown... They use an IPA, actually.
Really?
But that's the thing. I think caramelizing. I would think
almonds with Brussels sprouts. So I would want to use like a nut brown.
I do bacon. Yeah. Like I do like fat back bacon. Too,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
really overly fucking fatty bacon with it.
I would love to cook. I think it's Rogue that makes like the salted caramel bacon.
That imperial like the. The one that's always next to the Imperial.
Yeah, I think it's salted caramel bacon.
I think I saw beer battered bacon online.
Oh, yeah,
beer battered
bacon. That sounds like it'll kill
bacon
you.
Bacon is a weird
thing. But it sounds like I want it.
Bacon's a weird thing to put in your beer.
I think it's bacon extract that they use or some sort of smoke flavor. It's like like pumpkin beer. It doesn't have pumpkin in it a lot of times. I think their bacon beer is like it's bacon
smoked malt.
Yeah,
because Rauch, if you ever have a Rauch beer, that really gives it that bacon smoky kind of character. Yeah. There's no bacon in it.
But I think it'd be fun to do something, especially if you made the brownies or something with the bacon caramel beer. I think that'd be fun.
That would be.
I keep thinking about some of my favorite things to use in beer recipes, and the bacon idea always that you were saying is kind of leading me back to use it. I love liquid smoke. I love liquid smoke. Liquid smoke is such a good...
I'm convinced it's going to give me cancer, because nothing should taste that much like smoke.
I don't even care. Let me die tomorrow. I go out smiling.
It's taking a still over your fireplace and just taking all this.
Just drinking creosote.
I've got hickory and mesquite smoke, liquid smoke at my house, and I'm just thinking about the beers that would go well with that smoke flavor, and
just take a Rauch beer.
Yeah.
Take a Rauch beer. Oh my God, dude.
It's
just smoky.
It's coming.
It's coming.
But
you guys set a fire under at least my ass.
Oh, dude,
I want to do more of this.
I'm gonna finish my paper and then immediately be like, "We're going to the store, buying food for me to cook."
And it wasn't even that bad. With the, I mean, I use fairly cheap ingredients. I use, you know, chicken. I got a 3-pack of bell peppers. I got some garlic. I got it all at Aldi's because I knew I was going to be using it all day. And I think even with the beer, it ended up costing me like $15 to make like, what, like 6 portions of food or something?
Yeah, that's awesome. You fed a lot of people.
It's good. It's such a bummer that it's kind of just about beer, though, because I have this one recipe I just want people to try.
Well, we'll have
and
to
it's
make
totally
it
bourbon. It's totally
sorry,
not beer.
Dude.
It's totally
just,
bourbon.
Just
you have like, another podcast.
I know.
Put the bourbon in it. And put
a little bit of beer in it.
There you go.
Oh,
that's fine.
Make this sauce and put one drop of beer in it, and I can talk about it on the podcast.
Just use, like, bourbon sexual chocolate or bourbon people's porter
sexual
or something.
Chocolate.
I'm going to start doing an IPA with some Pinot Grigio for a scampi, a shrimp scampi.
Yep. Oh,
that's a
that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Now I just want to use bourbon barrel stuff all the time.
Weyerbacher's got a lot of beer that has that bourbon-y flavor to it, too.
I would love to do more seafood and beer.
Seafood would be interesting
with
beer?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Like Trey was saying, the scampi, but also like a
mahi,
like a salmon, mahi.
Mahi's really good with it. Tilapia takes the flavor really well depending
and
on what you're making.
And with those, I would want more of like a grapefruity IPA.
I was thinking maybe like
ooh,
the Hefeweizen, you get that banana clove kind of
dude
with the fish.
An amber with sea bass is so good.
Mm.
Amber and sea bass is so good.
I saw a recipe for a Hefeweizen banana nut bread.
We were talking about
what?
That last
we
night.
Were talking about that.
Yeah. I think there's also, I think I also
or
saw something once for a shandy swordfish dish.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I
or
was really interested in that.
I have another idea. We build a pizza, and everyone is responsible for a different topping or part. And we each have to use a different type of
beer. For it?
We use something for the dough.
You use like an amber.
An amber for the dough. We do the red sauce. We do like sausage. We do vegetables, and we build this pizza all made with beer recipes.
Already know. Crawdad Tales. If you've never had... No, I'm not even kidding. No, Crawdad... Dude, Crawdad Tales on a fucking pizza.
And Chris is like,
is
I hate seafood.
Of, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Never mind.
He hates it.
Well, Crawdads aren't...
Oh, really? They're in
right.
your stream behind
you're
your
right.
house. Grow up, Chris.
You're right. They're in your septic tank in your backyard.
So, like lobster. Perfect.
Shit-covered lobster.
Yes.
Shit-covered
lobster. I'm now just thinking about
the,
are we,
I just
are we like
going
to wrap up like the episode talking about
shit-covered
food?
No, that's probably not
back?
A good idea.
Can you veer back?
Back to beer?
Go back around.
Now I'm just thinking about putting beer cheese on
is this
on
what
pizza?
Happens when you come on
beer
a podcast?
On
you literally
pizza.
Shit all over it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not even, he brought
if
up
you guys
shit.
Come on our podcast,
we're going to
definitely class it up a lot.
We're going to shit all over it.
That's fine.
Just wait.
I like the
come
beer
January.
Cheese
beer cheese on pizza.
Beer cheese on pizza.
That would be interesting.
Like,
it seems
like,
it could be really
like a stuffed crust.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Stuffed crust, that's the way you can get the beer cheese in there.
Yeah.
Like a
Parmesan
garlic
white sauce. You want the grated.
White sauce with
yeah.
Some, wait, what was that?
Parmesan garlic white sauce with some kind of.
Yeah.
Try
guys, you may not know this about me.
Beautiful.
But I am a sucker for foods inside of.
Yeah.
Pigs in a blanket, stuffed crust pizza,
stuffed
pizza,
pizza
rolls,
every stuffed burrito ever.
Food inside of a food is amazing.
Jesus.
I saw some pizzeria in New York. He makes pizza and he has on top of the pizza little tiny pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Brilliant. Super brilliant. Or it's like those new those cakes or those pies baked inside of cakes. Have you seen them?
No.
Wow.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Jeff's brother told me about them at Thanksgiving, which is also like the longest conversation
that
we've ever
like...
had. But that's besides the point. He showed me pictures and it was like a 3-layered cake and each layer was a different type of pie inside the cake.
That sounds like that's way too high for my alchemy score.
It's like the turducken of pies.
Yeah, so we were like, wow, this is so stupid. And
inside
then we were looking at photos, we're like, oh,
brownie.
That one looks good.
And
that one also
okay.
looks good.
But if it's a 3-layered cake
cupcake.
With a pie,
yeah.
that means that there's no pie tin. Right? So
yeah.
they take it out of the...
Or you bake it and then you take it out of the pie and then you like pour some of the cake batter and then put
like a baked Alaska almost. I guess.
But imagine like a one layer cake. It's basically like I don't know.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I can see that with like a cheesecake inside of like a chocolate cake.
Ooh, I could see that. Basically, people are trying to like outdo the Corona.
A sour cheesecake inside of a Guinness chocolate cake.
Shut up. That sounds awesome.
Podcast is done.
We're gonna go bake that right now.
Yeah, gotta go.
I've got some sours in the fridge.
Those are our anniversary sours.
We have what better use?
Our relationship means so little.
It'll be delicious.
It'll be so good.
No, the sours just mean that much.
What if we made a cherry pie with a creek?
A creek is a sour that they put cherries in. And they age it like that. Oh my god, it's so good.
Beer.
Jeff, you can use this cider for something. Even.
Ooh, a cherry cider.
Cider's actually... Cider's
that'd be interesting.
With, especially with as tart as this is.
Ciders go well with things that you're trying to kind of apple-y kind of stuff. Like,
what was the cherry cider? Have you tried that? You've had this?
No, one. I don't think I have. But like for me, ciders always go well with brie.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
Drink up, Trey. Please. Drink all the beer.
That's Jeff's.
Not good.
What, this?
I made that. Yeah, it's delicious.
Good, right?
I'm going to put my dick in there.
You should.
You want a growler of it?
Yes, I do.
You can definitely take a growler home.
That's good.
So did anyone have anything else to add to the recipes or...
Frosting. Yeah. Alcohol.
Alcoholic frosting.
That doesn't cook off. Doesn't so, leave. You know, like alcohol.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
That's definitely...
You're going to do that next time.
Oh, I will. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Well, next will definitely be a dessert episode. I think that is a great idea.
Yeah.
But what we're going to do is what we did make and not just what we fantasized making tonight. We're going to come up with a e-cookbook and post it and keep updating it as we make new awesome recipes you guys can cook with us if you so choose. We'll also be posting pictures of what we made and how delicious and mouthwatering it all was onto the Twitter.
And we'll have the names of the beers too.
Yeah, what we
the beers used. Are also in the picture with the foods that they were in. Right?
Yes,
close enough. Yeah.
This coming week we're gonna have an Instagram, so we'll be posting how to follow us on that, and everything is always linked. Like our Untapped always posts to our Twitter, so if you're not following us on one thing, you can easily find it.
It's usually Crafted for You of some sort, underscores and whatnot.
Underscores.
Whatever we can get away with.
I think Alex has a plug.
I do.
For another podcast doing a food episode.
Yeah, tomorrow night, actually, Name Redacted is doing a food episode with a local chef from the area in Greensboro. If you would like, please tune in for that. You can find us at nameredactedpodcast.com. Subscribe, rate, comment, send us emails, whatever you want to do.
All that fun stuff.
They have a Twitter. They have an Instagram.
We've got all that fun shit.
They have all the social media.
We've got Facebook stuff.
Follow them.
So if you guys are interested in the food aspect of this, please tune in tomorrow. This is something that I've been trying to get us to do for 2 years.
And if you like hearing me, Alex, and Jeff all together, dig back through the archives. Old school Name Redacted episodes.
If you want to hear me talk about my genitals for 20 minutes.
The four of us were on an episode together, right? You were on that episode?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
So look up Who Calls It Herb?
That's the name of the episode.
And then I think coming January, we're going to do a...
A little crossover
between the two of our podcasts.
Yeah.
So look for that.
Should be fun. So yeah, that's my little plug. Little tiny.
And that should be live by Monday morning.
Yeah.
So yeah, follow us on all our social medias. Subscribe, please.
That's good. Don't drink and drive.
Please don't drink and drive. Cheers.